This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The Bronx Bull, the Raging Bull. Let's hear for the great Jake LaMotta, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm the best. I can take him more than anybody.
You're dead. You're married. Leave the young girls for me.
There's no way I'm going down. I don't go down for nobody.
Listen with him. Why does he have to make it so hard on himself?
If you beat Sugar Ray, you'll get a shot at the title. You feel that way?
There's no one else around who wants to fight me. They're all afraid.
There's a lot of bad things, Joey. Maybe it's coming back to me.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
Okay, this time we're working our way through the filmography of Martin Scorsese. Also, we got producer Allie and producer Anya in here.
I do have to say, I don't want to get too crazy just this many episodes in, but I did look up how to say his name.
Oh!
And I found a clip of the man himself saying his name.
Oh, Martin.
And someone said, how do you say your name? And then he said it. And it's Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Yeah, I know, kind of mind-blowing, because I've always said Scorsese, I think.
Me too.
Yeah, but anyway,
Scorsese.
That's that, so now we know how to say it, which is really important going
forward.
It's pretty sexy. Because we're going to say it a lot. So we're going to do 10 episodes this season, and we've picked all of the essential movies of Scorsese's super long and prolific career. Of course, we can't get to everything. And of course, we have seen Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, we have, the only one we've seen. Lauren, I got to say, I understand why this man has had such longevity.
So do I. I have had moments where I'm like, oh, this is what everyone's been talking about.
Yes.
And it also, there's just so much about, I mean, there's just so much to say, honestly, when you're watching things that are classic good films,
it feels good in the soul. It feels nice. It feels so good. And I'm like, wow, I don't want to look at my phone. Like,
no, exactly.
I had to pause Raging Bull because I got like a text that I needed to answer and I paused it.
Yeah, that's
I never
something.
Paused a single Batman movie. No, I said, let it wash right over me.
You can't pause them. You have to let them play or you'll never have time to do anything else. So today we are discussing what is often hailed as a modern epic, Scorsese's 1980 film Raging Bull.
Wow. In black and white, it's available for free on Tubi or the Roku channel or for a fee on any of the major streamers. Because guess what? It's a classic, baby. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
So, yeah. And again, we're the last people to see this. So everyone will be like, yeah, we know how it goes. But okay. We are so excited for our guest today. Branson Reese is a comedian, illustrator, co-creator, and host of the HeadGum podcast, Rude Tales of Magic. His credits include Alternatino with Arturo Castro on Comedy Central, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Broadway Video's 65th Man, and more. And diehard fans of Brisk Iced Tea will remember him as the skinny lemon-headed man from the commercial. Now, Branson, thank you for being here. Tell us more about that really quickly.
Yeah, tell us
thank
about
that. Thank you for having me. And thank you for reading the bio I forgot to update on my website.
I assume that you
was,
sent
I
it
was
in.
Scraping for credits at that point.
Oh, well,
life.
Give me more. Give me some new ones. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, give us new ones.
Well, we do the whole
well,
fucking
I
thing.
Well, I still am. I said it like that was past tense. Like I've had success since then. But the I was doing a commercial for Brisk Iced Tea where the idea was the Brisk Man would come visit you. You would like call a phone number and he would deliver Brist to you, and they reached out to me and they were like, we saw you in an improv show. We thought you'd be like perfect. And I was like an idiot. I was I made it. Somebody saw how funny I am. And then I got there and they were like, we already built the costume and it doesn't really fit most bodies. And we thought you would fit it.
That's so crazy.
I would pass right away. You profiled my body.
It was pretty
humbling. He'll fit into that thing.
I was so inspired by Raging Bull that I gained 80 pounds for this podcast.
Okay, good. We really were hoping that you would do the work needed to talk about this film. What is your relationship to the work of Martin Scorsese or to Raging Bull in particular, if one more than the other?
I'm a big fan. I like the man. Yeah. I like him. He was like on TV all the time when I was like a kid.
Really?
And I just remember, it was like, he was like in commercials, you know, he'd like show
Martin Scorsese?
Mm-hmm. Nicole, this is our blind spot.
Wait, how old are you?
If you don't 36? Mind. Oh, no, that's fine.
I'm like that too. I'm like that too. What a wild way to phrase that. I think I'm 38, but
I think I'm around 38 as well, but
something like that. Yeah. But I don't remember old Marty on my TV.
I feel like he was in like a MasterCard commercial or something, you know, just like that. And I just remember he had huge eyebrows and my first thought was like solidarity. Who is this? Like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I see myself.
Made you feel safe.
And then the more I learned about it, I was like, oh, he's like a little smart ass. I like this guy. Oh. And then I didn't see any of his movies for a while. I think Raging Bull would have been one of the first ones I saw when I was like, you know, in high school and you're sort of like, you're watching the classics. It was like, well, I guess I had seen Goodfellas, but that didn't, that just felt like American culture. You know, that didn't feel like a guy had made it. It just felt like, oh, a thing that everyone riffs on exists.
Well, that's so interesting. We're doing that next. And I'm excited because I don't know. Okay. And I am American.
Same. I'm like that too. And I simply don't know anything. And then I keep seeing these things and I'm like, oh my God, this is where it's from.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
You're going to have that big time with Goodfellas. It's going to be like when I watched Citizen Kane for the first time, I was like, oh my God, every shot in this was in The Simpsons at one point. Like I've seen this whole movie. You're going to have that with Goodfellas. It's like it's been picked apart to death by.
Well, I had it with this one when he said something like there was early in the movie. There's something like he could be a contender. And I was like, oh, my God, I could have been a contender from this. And then we get there at the end, but it's not from that. But he's quoting that. And then I was like, there's layers to I could have been a contender that I didn't even know. I'm just glad I know. I mean, and just about this movie, I liked this movie. And I
fucking loved it.
Yeah. It's so fun to talk. I feel like the last time we had this happen was with Tyler Perry movies. We were really
our taste is all over the place.
We're all over the place.
We're like creme de la creme, Tyler Perry, Martin Scorsese.
That's classic, how I'm gonna say the Bernie to Trump voter. It's like the through line is so clear.
Don't connect us to that.
Yeah, do that. I am not like that.
But really we don't, I feel like we just never know what we're going to think. Like Batman, we had many things that we were like, this is the best one or whatever. Like we have our moments, but like, it's been exciting. Cause I'm like, I might feel that the whole way through with this, which is really,
I'm really excited. Yeah. I like it so much in this particular movie or film, if you will, was just shot so beautifully and it told such a story. Also, I was like, I started dating pretty late in life, and I was like, if I had a boyfriend in high school, would I have seen all these?
Oh my God. Well, no, my boyfriend in high school liked Lord of the Rings, but I always fell asleep before I got going.
So I'd be in the same place I am now, be like, oops, fell asleep.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question, though, because it is very, like, these movies are for the average American male, very iconic. They've seen it all 500 times, right? But this one, I also, when I was Googling, because of course, once again, I had to Google the actress's age to make sure that nothing gross was happening. Still questionable, but the actress was playing 15. And then I was like, 15. How old is she? And I guess she was 17 or 18 when she was filming.
She was 18.
Okay. Okay. Cause one thing,
yeah, that she was scouted, I believe, at a beauty pageant. Cause I also did a little Google. Yeah. Cause yeah. I was like 15. Also, you're 15 going on 35. I was
She's like, the I certainly. Oldest. Oh my God.
It was wild.
If you saw me at 15 at the pool, like, don't talk to her. Like,
yeah, don't go over there. But instead she was like, yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll get in your car. If I spoke like that at 15, boy, oh boy.
Your whole life would be different.
I wouldn't be doing podcasts.
Yeah. But
consider. Yeah, that like a mid 40s 15 is like a 2024, like 39.
Yeah. Like that period of time. Like, it is weird how that's true, but like, I also discovered at that moment that it was a biopic because I didn't know that it was.
I didn't know until you told me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, right? If I'm Jake LaMotta and that movie gets made about me, I am breaking my legs running to a lawyer to be like, how do we stop this? And he wrote it all day. It's based on a book that he wrote. Yeah. It's like based on his, clearly somebody helped him.
I know.
To the brain. I don't think he wrote
boxing,
it.
Boxing is so disgusting to me. I just really don't understand.
It's very graphic, very primal, like you're a caveman. Like, we don't have anything else to do. How about you beat your friend to death?
Yeah.
And we'll all cheer about it and it's going to be fun.
It's really crazy. Those are the hardest parts for me to watch personally.
Yeah. Marty likes
blood. Oh, interesting.
Blood.
The domestic violence also bothered me.
Yeah, which is all of the movie, really.
Yeah.
We should move on to our new segment called Spotted, where we say if we see any of the following celeb sightings, one of Marty's boys, a recurring actor. So we got Robert De Niro. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, did you guys catch him in this?
We caught him.
Yeah, caught him. Yeah.
I spotted him.
Ooh, is it? Yeah.
Harvey Keitel was not in this.
Or is he? No. Okay.
Joe Pesci is in it.
Mm-hmm. And he's so great.
And he's so hot. I want to fuck Joe Pesci so bad.
That's
so
crazy.
I just want him to love me. And I felt since being a kid.
No. Okay. That actually makes more sense. Because if it's like coming from this movie, I don't know. I mean, he's very charming. He's a great actor. Absolutely.
Oh, he's so good. So talented and hot.
I can't wait to hear if you still feel that way after Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah.
He gives like a really like love it or hate it performance in that. I love it. I want to fuck him after Goodfellas. So
okay.
That says anything.
That means I think I'm going to want to.
Anyway, do we get Marty's dad, Charles Scorsese, in this movie? Is he in this?
I don't think so.
And then
Marty
himself
was not in it?
I also don't think so. Am I right?
I don't think he is.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was not in it.
No, he did. He passed on this movie.
Yeah, he said too busy. I got things
too busy learning how to talk. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Raging Bull and get all up into it.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back! It was released December 19th, 1980. Ooh, a Christmas treat!
It was written by
Paul Schrader and, Mardik Martin? Mardik?
Wow, interesting name. And, you know, it being in black and white, it kind of goes right up there with It's a Wonderful Life. Just put it on every Christmas.
Yep.
You could swap one scene. You could just, like, trade scenes off. You wouldn't know which
absolutely.
Movie you were
watching. No, I'm excited about this. And I'm also really excited about the sort of time periods that he's working with. Mm-hmm. I find it really fun. So let's jump into the plot and talk about our thoughts as we were watching. So after an opening credit sequence of Jake LaMotta, Robert De Niro, shadow boxing alone in a ring, I got worried at this part because I was like, yes. Oh no. Raging Bull opens with Jake rehearsing his act in the dressing room of a nightclub. The rehearsal ends with the repetition of the phrase, "That's entertainment." Now, I didn't know it was a boxing movie. I didn't know anything about this movie. So boxing, I was immediately like, oh no, is this going to be really boring and all about boxing? Mm-hmm. It wasn't boring at all. But then when they jump to him with his like age makeup on or his like fucked up head makeup on, I was like, what? Like, I truly did not know where it was going. And then I kind of like forgot about that pretty quickly because it sweeps you up in the story.
Yeah. But I was like, what is this? Is this like spoken word poetry? What's going on? I was like, is this about a poet? It certainly wasn't.
he's especially not a poet. I don't know if anyone in film has ever less been a poet than Jake LaMotta.
But like, he really wants to be by the end, which is so odd.
Yes.
He does like want to be a comedian.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the age old, like rock stars want to be comedians and comedians mm-hmm. want to be rock stars. And like, I guess boxers want to be comedians. It's like another.
Everybody wants to be a comedian.
Comedians want to be boxers.
But, of course. We all want to punch each other.
Right.
But I was really surprised by that because I'm like, his personality does not lend itself to comedy in any way.
He didn't make me laugh not one time.
No,
not
he
when
made
he
me scared.
Hit his wife and yelled about steak and threw her in a room. She was fun though. She was like, "You scream at me, I'll scream at you."
I know. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, so it's 1941 and Jake is a muscular boxer in danger of losing a fight against Jimmy Reeves, Floyd Anderson. The bell rings, and even though Reeves is physically removed from the ring, Jake suffers his first professional defeat, which confused me. I was like, wait, but like this man seems like he lost?
Yeah. I wasn't really following a lot of the fighting, honestly.
Fighting's hard.
I didn't want to look at it. It was so grotesque to me that I was just I'll just catch up to whatever happened there in a second.
I found it to be grotesque, but I also was like, it was like a car accident. You know how like cars slow down because they have to see what's going on? I was like pretty enraptured because I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
I mean, and he does, you know, he scores it and shoots it like it's like ballet.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. even though it's he'll get punched in the face and then the front row, it's like Shamu with just like blood spraying them.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, after watching it, I was like, is Marty romanticizing abuse and, like, brutality? But I was like, no, I actually think they're, like, cautionary tales that people misinterpret.
Yeah.
This rocks. I was so, I was watching this movie, I was dreading it. I was like, oh my God. And it was, like, hitting me all as I watched it. I was like, this is such a nasty downer of I love it, mm-hmm. but, it, you know, like, He's punching his wife in the head. Like, this is a brutal movie. I'm about to have to go on a podcast and say why I like this and like make myself into a lightning rod. Like, but yeah, you're right. It's not like, cause then he cuts to like kids watching that in horror, you know,
yes.
It's clearly a very morally driven filmmaker.
And when yeah, and how the story plays out, like it's not, he's not mm-hmm. a hero.
No, he's yeah. not a hero at all. But it's like, I felt the same thing about Taxi Driver, where I was like, it's so interesting that I feel like a lot of men feel akin to what's his name, Travis or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you shouldn't. Whoops. You should want to yeah. run in the opposite direction of that man. And I feel like that's what old Marty likes to show us.
But you know what's interesting? I feel like with women, like especially when you're in this industry, like trying to create something, a lot of times a note will say that the main female has to be more likable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet none of these men are likable that we've seen,
no.
you know, but like, they're likable as a performance and it's art and all these things. But I'm like, and that's what stories can tell you about a person mm-hmm. who you don't like and who you don't want to hang out with. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know that. I think it's, there's a little bit of a double standard there.
Well, I think it's interesting because I think about Carrie and Sex and the City a lot. She is a deeply unlikable character that you root for because you see a little bit of your own selfishness in her. And yeah. I feel like women aren't allowed to be selfish, so it is allowed that men can be selfish assholes, and people are like, boy, oh boy, I love that.
Yeah, and I want to be more like that, because look, yeah. he got everything he wanted all the time, or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
It does almost feel like a corrective, like he made Taxi Driver, he was like, oh, I don't know, he had like a crystal ball, and he was like, one day, like, men are going to be like seeing themselves in travel. Travis, I'm going to make this is like the equivalent of like your dad catching you smoking. And he's like, now you're going to smoke the whole pack. Like, this is the most unlikable man in film. Are you sure you relate to him?
Yeah. You're but absolutely also, right.
Weren't you thinking, Nicole, how fun it would be to act this out? Like the scenes where she's, the wife is like yelling at him yes. and stuff. And it's like, oh, it'd be so
yes.
fun.
Yes. So yeah. much fun to just scream at Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Okay. So. We got to get through this. Okay, after returning to New York City, no, it's okay. Joey walks down the street with Salvi Batts, Frank Vincent, a mafioso working under Tony Como, Nicholas Colasanto.
He's Coach from Cheers.
Oh my God, I didn't piece that together. Wait, let me.
Because he's so smart in this, you don't even recognize him.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. Let me get on the Google.
I know, I'm Googling.
Oh! Nope, didn't clock him at all.
I can't even. I'm not doing a good job Googling. Keep going.
It's okay. he's a mob controller of the boxing industry in New York. Salvi tries once again to convince Joey that Jake can never get a shot at the title without playing ball with Tommy. This kind of confused me because I didn't realize that like the mob had control over boxing too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I really understand quite what the mob does.
I thought it was just a bunch of fine Italian men who do a little bit of crime and protect their families.
Uh-huh. Sounds so nice. How you put it that way.
They just wear suits and they hang out.
So Jake reveals his violent behavior is not restricted to the ring. This felt like a play. I really enjoyed this scene. So he gets in a heated argument with his wife, Lori Ann Flax, over his steak not being cooked to his precise specification. He throws the table and everything. Soon afterward, Joey enters Jake's apartment and Jake laments over his small hands and complains that his middleweight physique prevents him from fighting heavyweight greats like Joe Louis. Jake then abruptly provokes his brother into hitting him in the face as hard as he can, barefisted. So he's with Joe Pesci, who is just so great. And then so he's like, mm-hmm. he wraps a dish towel around his hand and punches him in the head over and over again. And Robert De Niro has no reaction, basically. He's like, just egging him on. It was really an intense scene. Really
so
fun.
Intense. The but also, I was like, you just got done fighting your wife, and now you want to fight your brother?
He's never satisfied.
He's just got to fight. Well, I love how, like, the movie will, like, you know, he'll have a fight in his real life, and then they'll immediately cut to a boxing match where he's, like, having that fight again with another guy, you know, mm-hmm, where she's mm-hmm. like, oh, he's got a pretty face, and she says it, like, 15 times, and then, or she says it once, and then he says it 15 times, and then he ruins the guy's face in the boxing yeah. match with him. It's like he's still upset about that. But I would say the Foley when Pesci is punching him, it's so soft. It feels like an actual punch
yes.
to the face.
Yeah.
And I was just wincing this time watching it.
All of that was so well done. Mm-hmm. And I love the choices stylistically for to make it seem like an old movie as well. But like I felt like the fights were all very realistic. It was really
yeah,
impressive.
Everything was super, super real. I felt so invested. And like, I couldn't stop watching it. And I spent a lot of this movie just with my mouth open. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Why? No. Okay, so Jake and Joey are at the neighborhood public swimming pool where Salvi and his cohorts hit on a young blonde named Vicky. I was also like, boy, oh boy, she's got like a sex kitten name. Vicky?
Yeah.
Vicky? Not that a child can't be named Vicky, but they do sexualize her. Kathy Moriarty. Jake asks Joey if Vicky is in a sexual relationship with anyone, which is wild because she is 15.
And he's married. There's like two reasons for him to shut up. But yeah.
Yeah. And then Joey's like, nobody goes with her because she is 15. And then Jake said, yummy, yummy, yummy. Better get in there. And then Joey introduces him to Vicky, impressed by Jake's convertible because she's a child. She agrees to go on a date with him. And after a game of mini golf, which is, where you take a child, Jake takes her back to his father's apartment and they kiss in front of a photograph of Jake and Joey. This I hated. I hated it because I was like, oh, this is like you're actually watching grooming. Like he's like, come sit closer to me.
I know.
Make her feel safe about that. Here, come sit closer to me. The repetition of that. Here, sit on my lap. I was like, Vicky, no, bitch, go back to the pool.
I know. It made me uncomfortable. And she's extremely confident and like seems very mature. But just knowing the person is 15, you're like, you can't possibly understand what's happening here. So that's just. But and also, again, being like, this is true, which gave me. You know, it gave a pass to the situation more in terms of storytelling because you're like, this is a real story that happened. Mm-hmm, like, that was interesting.
I just want to throw my two cents in. I feel really weird that I haven't spoken up. I also hated that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because we were all waiting for you to just interrupt us.
every sentence where I didn't speak up, it was like, it seems like I'm endorsing this, doesn't it?
We were like, and for some reason, Branson's going like, nope, 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 nope.
If you guys silently, feel that way, okay. But.
He's typing in the chat, I love that part. Okay. So Jake hands future legend Sugar Ray Robinson, Johnny Barnes, his first professional loss, launching what becomes the greatest middleweight rivalry of the 1940s. After the fight, Vicky kisses Jake's bruises and Jake becomes sexually aroused. To preserve enough energy for a forthcoming fight with Robinson, Jake walks away from Vicky and pours cold water on his erection. Now, this scene, she was like... He basically is like, come have sex with me. And then she's like, you said I should never touch you before a fight. Or like in the middle of this, all this stuff. And then he was like, do it anyway. And then she does stuff. And then I feel like he literally poured like ice on it. Like it was
He poured ice on his dick. But before that, she was like, you smell, I like the gym. And he was like, what? And she, I like, you smell like the gym. I like the gym. I was like, of course you like the gym. It reminds you of school where you should be.
Where you are right now.
Not to mention the wife, his first wife, is erased. They don't ever address how that ends.
Nope.
They don't deal with that.
They said bye bye.
He just was done, which is interesting. I mean, it feels like
wait. No, she does come back, doesn't she? She yells.
She's yelling
at
him from the street. Yeah. But I don't know if that already happened here, but my point is that's kind of the last time you see her and you don't see him like have to end his relationship or get caught cheating or anything like that. It just is like now he's with the 15-year-old, which is weird.
I do think it does a pretty good job putting you in his head where he's just like on to the next.
Yeah.
He's just like a dog, you know, he's just like, this thing is in front of me right now. I think I got divorced back there a while ago. I don't remember, you know, like keep going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just so glad he put his erection down.
I too was glad. I said, I don't really want to watch that. That's just a step too far. And then I was like, why do you have a pitcher of ice water in your bathroom?
Yeah, I don't know what that, maybe that's how they used to like wash their ass back then.
It's a makeshift bidet. Okay. Despite the sacrifice, Jake loses the Robinson rematch 3 days later, but Jake nonetheless elevated into the realm of the best of the middleweights. Then a montage shows a string of Jake's victorious matches and features colored home video camera footage of Jake's happy domestic life.
I loved this.
Is so great because you know it's not true.
Yeah,
right. it's so like picture perfect and like what home movies typically are. Like it's like it's just the best moment or something. Yeah.
And it's also it's like shot on different film stock and it's color and it like feels like a dream he's having like from within the movie. It's so and it's like true. Like, you know, it's bullshit. You've already seen how violent he is to people he loves. Like those kids aren't safe, you know, like it's great.
And Branson, you had said earlier, you're like, you see it from his vantage point. And that really felt like his vantage point, like everything's happy, whatever. And then I like loved when he was like, get closer, like to the kid or whatever. And the kid like pauses before moving closer because like the kid knows they're not safe. And I thought that broke a little bit of the dream. And I really liked that.
It's such a painful, all the stuff with the kids is so like painful to watch. It's like, those are good actors, you know, and it's like they really, you can see that they're like around physical violence a lot and they are have already had to like learn little strategies to like deal with them. It's so sad.
Yeah. In 1947, now out of fighting shape, Jake is angry with Joey for organizing a fight between him and a young boxer, Tony Gennaro, who is Kevin Mahone. And Joey believes Jake can win the fight. And Vicky agrees, adding that Gennaro is good looking and popular, a comment which fuels Jake's ardent sexual jealousy. Jake, Vicky, and Joey go to the Copacabana nightclub. Tommy and his gang are also there. And Salvi invites Vicky over for a drink, which enrages Jake. This whole night stressed me the fuck out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, how did this 15-year-old get in? One. Two, she just gets to drink. She's just drinking with the big dogs. The big dogs. Who am I? And
and no, then it's true that she knows all of them and they all treat her well. And it like, you kind of get the sense that there's history with everyone that she's talking to. And Jake is so jealous, which is really one of the nastiest traits, especially from someone who's really violent. But it's like, it's just scary. It's like, oh, what do you can't. She clearly knew she couldn't even talk to them. She tells them like, oh, Jake's here. I got to go. Like it's there's that feeling of like, oh, I'm not even supposed to like look at you.
Yeah, which it's feels nasty. Yeah, it's very, very nasty. I'm also like, when does she leave your sight? Like, when is she out of sight? When is she ever having the opportunity to do these things that you're just thinking?
It seems to be never.
No, yeah, she's never away from him unless he leaves. Mm-hmm. But it is that thing with like those types of people, and also because he's cheating and being like evil. Yeah. He thinks everybody's doing all the same shit he's doing. Like, he's so jealous of her and assumes like anything she says means she's going to do something, which we come to find out might be true. But yeah.
But can we blame her?
I mean, no. So while Jake is away at training camp, Vicky goes out with Salvi. Joey spots her and drags her out of the club. Salvi asserts that the night out is innocent, but Joey ambushes him and slams his whole body in a cab door. Tommy makes it clear to Jake that Jake will never get a shot at the middleweight title if he doesn't cooperate with the mob. Jake finally agrees to throw his fight against Billy Fox, Eddie Mufasa Muhammad. That's a great name. But it's clear that the fight is rigged and the boxing board suspends Jake for 2 years. Oh, my God. This when Joey fucking slams this man's body in the cab, I was like, oh, my God, it runs in the family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This guy, it's only because he's next to Jake the whole movie that it's like, that guy's pretty reasonable. But in any other context, it's like, this guy is a terrorist. This is a monster.
I know, because when we see Joey like with his wife and kids, he's like a terrible person. He's like so awful. Abusive. But it is true that like comparatively, he seems like he's maybe a little bit of a wuss or something, because like he didn't want to punch Jake in the face. We're like, see, he's kind of nice or something. It's like, no, he's he's disturbing.
He's just
awful. Yeah. Also, did he jump over a table? Did he knock over a table?
I'm remembering later when they go to like make up or like where he's like, yeah, it's all good. We can put this behind. And then he just like slams a glass into his head.
Oh, yeah. Which is that's wild. Everything in this movie was wild.
I know the violence is so it's so extreme, but there's moments where it's kind of funny. Like, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's, well, in the beginning, they throw a man out of the boxing ring or in a box. Like, they are just throwing people.
It looks like a dummy that they've thrown. Yeah. That part's really good. The honestly, I was this time, and this is only because this is like the fourth time I've seen this, the did you fuck my wife scene. That whole time I was like, you know, he looks a little like Kramer in this scene. And I was just like, I couldn't watch it through not through that lens. It's like it's so close to being a funny scene. That's why it gets parodied all the time.
It's basically Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So 2 years later, Jake finally gets his shot at the World Middleweight Championship against current title holder Marcel Cerdan, Luis Raftis, or Lewis. Before the fight, Tommy offers words of encouragement to Jake, but Jake gets suspicious when he observes Vicky casually kissing Tommy and Joey on the lips. Jake beats Cerdan to win the title, but the joy is short-lived. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, not to blame the victim, but Vicky, you know your husband. Don't be kissing other people on the lips.
Yeah, you really can't get away with that in front of him. I mean,
no,
you got to know that.
It's you don't want to blame them, but tactically, it's an odd move.
Yeah. Or maybe she was fueling him for the fight. She was like, I know what will make him kill a man. So Jake confronts Joey about what happened on the night of Joey's fight with Salvi, enraged and delusional. Jake asks Joey if he's slept with Vicky. Joey leaves, and Jake then accuses Vicky of having sex with Joey. He hits her. Ugh, I hated this.
Yeah.
In a tumultuous explosion of emotion, Vicky mock confesses to sleeping with Joey, Salvi, and Tommy. She's like, I slept with them all. Is that what you want? Okay, then Jake.
And I think she even said, like, I sucked their dick or something.
Yes, I think she did.
And the language actually I found hilarious in a lot of this. There's like, it's really graphic, violent, like in a way that I wasn't expecting at all. I actually was sort of like, I didn't know people talked like that back then with some of the words. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I mean, I assume it's true.
But I always think that got invented when I was in middle school.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, like me and my friends invented talking like that.
That's ours. Like, that wasn't always happening. But like, when he confronts Joey and Joey's like, I'm not going to answer that. I love that. I just the acting was so wonderful.
So
and like that he never answers it. So you kind of go like they did. And then when she mock confesses, you're like, I think she did all of that. Like, I don't know. Like, and then when he broke through the door, which was like made of, I don't know, literal cardboard, like he punched like the center of the frame of the door and just walked in. I'm like, you're Frankenstein. Like, this is like scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely terrifying. But again, I think it's from his point of view. Like, I think in actual reality, his brother says, no, I didn't. And Vicky goes, no, I didn't. But in his reality, it's like a note, like he doesn't get an answer so he can make up his own answer.
Oh, that's right. I love that perspective. That's cool.
This is such a good performance of a stupid guy who doesn't understand that he's stupid, because I know so many, and I grew up with so many stupid guys who get it. They get that they're stupid and they have really fun lives, because, you know, it's just like, hey, I'm an idiot, whatever. Like, but I also know guys like this who are like, I know there's smart guys, but I think I'm probably right in the middle. It's like, no, you're dumb. And he's like convinced himself that he's figured something out. And that's like when he's his most dangerous. It's like he like thinks the way he boxes. He's like, I've got you on the ropes now and I'm not going to let up until you're like dead.
That is so true. Yeah. I think that's the scariest kind of man who like thinks that he's smarter than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they think they're doing something. And it's like, you're not doing something right now. Like it's scary.
Okay, so she mock confesses. Okay, so Jake heads back to Joey's house next door and attacks him during breakfast. When Vicky shows up to try to break up the fight, Jake brutally strikes her. The couple reconciles, but Joey and Jake become estranged.
I found that interesting. But okay, wait. Robinson destroys Jake in their final bout. Jake goads Ray to beat him to a pulp until the referee steps in to end the fight. And as he is helped to his own corner, he reminds Robinson that he never got him down. That part, I was like, what's going to happen? Is he going to walk over and kill him? Like,
that's what it was. I like, thought.
Like, he's like, he looks like absolute shit. He's been beaten. He looks like a big, like, I don't know, like ball of cauliflower. Like, I don't know what. He looks horrible. And he's like, you never got me down. You never got me down. It's like, you are down, dude. Like,
I think that's the point.
He's on his feet.
Yeah. He's like been beaten down and he's just like a nasty little cauliflower. But he's like, but the thing that matters the most is you didn't knock me off my feet. And it's like, you're missing the whole fucking point. Your face is fucked.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of the movie because it's like he's. You see, it's like obviously Scorsese, who's like Catholic as shit, made this movie, right? And it's like he goes into that ring like it's a confessional, right? And he's like, tear me up. Like, I know you're not, like, I'm dumb, but I'm not, I know you're not supposed to hit your wife and knock her out. Like, I know that's bad. And so, like, he needs this guy to like punish him for like what he's done. And there's like something sort of, this is the only part of the movie where I'm like, Jake, I sort of feel for, you know, it's like, this is the only context he's like sort of an underdog. He sort of makes you're almost like there's something scrappy and like a likable way about him here when he's like, you didn't knock me. It's like he's an abject figure. You know, he's like, he's got the shit kicked out of him. His life is in ruins. And he's the only thing he cares about is he didn't get knocked off of his feet. And the movie like brings you to the brink where you're like, okay, if that's the only thing you care about, I guess you did it. You know, you like, you can feel it.
Okay, so then Jake's retired, and the family, his whole family lives in Florida, and he owns a nightclub. This turn was so surprising to me. Vicky files for divorce and takes the kids with her. Jake's arrested for allowing underage girls to pimp into his self-named nightclub, though he claims to be innocent. He's not. He actively kissed the girl to prove that she was 21 by kissing her.
Yeah.
And then turns out she's 14. So he likes girls who are 14, even though he keeps getting much older.
Yes. And he said, you know, 15 wasn't young enough. I better go down one.
Yeah. And he couldn't believe it. I mean, when they come to his house, the DA or wherever he's sleeping, I guess he's probably sleeping at the club. They show him the pictures of the girl that he kissed. And I mean, Robert De Niro, amazing actor. It's like, just watching him take it, at first kind of deny the pictures, then want to see them again, then kind of being like, she doesn't look 14 to you, does she? Mm-hmm. I mean, she's looking, because she looks
reason
like she's,
with them. Oh,
yes. It's like, it's too late.
Which is so gross. Also, Vicky, like, I don't, like, it was a classic, like, domestic violence leaving. She had an escape plan. She moved her stuff out of the house while he wasn't there, didn't tell him where she was going. Like, she said, I'm taking, like, I was like, boy, this, it's so detailed. It's like, it's very real.
And you know that she was struggling with that for a long time at this point, because now he's already much older and retired and whatever. I don't know how many years it's actually been, but, like, She had her whole game plan, which is not an easy thing to put together, especially, I'm sure, at this time and with someone like him.
Yeah, I think the mid-50s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like, we're not even great about it now, but I think we were like even radically worse at that as a society in the mid-50s.
Yeah, yeah. It's all very scary to think about her perspective and how there's like a whole storyline going on for her that we're only seeing these like brief glimpses
of. Where she probably didn't have a bank account. So she had to like save money a little bit at a time. Like, it's harrowing. Like, this film is so incredible because I felt for everybody.
I know. And there are really moments where you feel really bad for him. So he pries loose his middleweight boxing championship belts encrusted jewels.
Which so low.
It was
so low.
It was so sad. He's like ripping them out to sell, only to be told that the jewels don't have any value without the belt itself, which is like, duh, why were you taking it apart?
Idiot.
It's so obvious if you just walk to the store. Like, if you just walk to the pawn shop with the belt, you're going to get a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, the thing that the belt symbolizes is much rarer than the little jewels they put in the belt. Like,
and now they're all broken and like crusty, probably. Uh-huh.
Do you guys have a King of Comedy on the list for this?
Season? No, I don't think so, right?
That was a very King of Comedy. He has like a lot of like really low, like, okay, I'll try to bargain with you. And I have no chips whatsoever in that movie. Mm. It's a lot of the De Niro Scorsese films, he plays these characters who are like, everything's a transaction. I can just, you know, buy or barter my way out of any situation. And that was in this. It's just like the fucking, the little dime, the fake jewels on the belt.
Yeah.
Ugh. And he comes in with them in a little like wrap, like tissue or something. He's like, here. And he's like, this isn't anything.
He's like, I don't want this.
Yeah. Like, obviously.
Like a cat bringing you a bird.
Like, oh, like, this. You like this. I don't like this. So he, this part was so fucked up. He's placed in solitary confinement. They really wrestle him in there.
Yeah.
He howls that he's not an animal as he beats his fist and bangs his head against the cinder block wall of the cell, calling himself a dummy repeatedly.
Yeah, which is like perfect because it's like, you are an animal. I've never seen anything more animalistic than someone howling and banging and screaming.
No, it was so hard to watch. I mean, it goes on for a long time. And then so, he's like, ow, my hand. And it's like,
you idiot.
You can like see him as a baby at that point. You know what I mean? It's like you can see him. It's like, oh, my God, there it is. It's like usually you don't get that in a movie. It's like you sort of have to guess. And in that, it's like, no, I see you as a baby. I see when you figured out that you were like dumb and that made you angry, like fuck, it's all there.
Well, you know those people who punch things to like out of anger, like we've all met that guy. And it's like you hurt yourself and damaged property. It's like what did that do, like what did that do for anyone? But okay,
I don't think I've ever been that mad that I'm like, I'm gonna put a hole in the wall, like what fucking weirdo.
That's like just like it truly, to me, I mean, it obviously not hitting you. I wouldn't say you should hit a person, but it's like hitting a wall. You're literally just causing yourself problems for later. Yeah. Like, I just don't.
What Lauren is saying, hit the person.
Yeah. I'm like, if you hit a person, they walk away. If you hit, make a hole in your wall, you have to fix that.
People heal on their own. Their bodies do this. I've been, if I'm like that mad, it's the last thing I want is another problem.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, that's two more at least. The hand and the wall.
Yeah, you got to go to Home Depot now and get spackle. So I think out of prison, Jake marries a stripper named Emma, classy name, and returns to New York City. One night he sees Joey coming out of a liquor store and attempts to reconcile with him. A reluctant Joey allows Jake to hug him, but reveals no desire to reconnect, which I love. I was like, maintain those boundaries.
I loved it. He jumps out of the car and he's like, well, so also the stripper is in his show. So he's like performing at this nightclub. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and then he introduces the next act, which is this woman. And to me, it looked like she was a pathetic act. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like she had her little boa or whatever she was doing. But it was like, and then the bar was like four people. It was all like really shitty situation. And he's doing his comedy, which is terrible. And like most people aren't enjoying it. And he's like fighting with people. And I didn't realize he married her, I guess. But then he's like, I'll see you at home. And like sends her in a cab because he sees Joey coming out of the store. And like him following Joey and Joey not even wanting to turn around. And then he follows him to the parking lot and he's like, give me a kiss. He literally kept saying give me a kiss and like kissing him and Joey's like no, and like he's like I'll call you later or something. He's like, well, you really don't forget or whatever. It was like, really sad.
It was so sad.
That scene hurts to fuck it to watch. And it's also it's like he's treated everyone in his life so transactionally up until that point, and they only put up with him because he offers them like access to the like power and wealth that comes with his boxing success. And it's like, you fucking idiot. Like, what did you think was going to happen when you stopped being in shape? Like, did you think they were going to be like, all right, well, you're so easy to hang around with. Like,
yeah, we've always had a good time. Yeah, no.
The film ends where it began, 1964, in the dressing room where Jake rehearses his act. Jake recites a famous scene from On the Water. Oh, interesting. That's why I didn't know where it was from. Never seen On the Waterfront, where Marlon Brando's character famously insists, I could have had class. I could have been a contender. Oh, I thought it originated in this movie. I was like, oh, so this, that's where
right. So he's quoting Brando.
This is so funny how little I know about the industry I've chosen to be in. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which I am. A voice. Oh, so Marty Scorsese was in this. Tells Jake it's time to go on stage. After shadow boxing, Jake walks out and the screen goes dark.
That was so sad. The moment of like, it's time to go. It's like, are there people? There's a lot of people. Like, okay, okay. And he's like, then he boxes a little bit and goes. I'm just like, this feels like such a bummer. And like, I mean, obviously comedy changes so much over time that like there was that one club where he's in his own club, I guess, which also skews it. He's performing and doing well, but it's still like really corny, like you can't really tell if the audience is biased because, or, you know, just giving him applause because he runs the club. Mm-hmm. And they know who he is.
Feel like it's a novelty. Like, it's like, oh, we come to Jake LaMotta's. There he is.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was such a, like, I don't know, a statement on trying to stay relevant. Cause it's like, there's a world where this man goes, okay, I'm not a boxer anymore. I'll go get a job in a supermarket or whatever. But he's like, I'm above all that and I need to stay relevant and I need people to idolize me, even though I'm this like piece of garbage.
Yeah, it's definitely, the constant need for like attention and accolades from people. Even like, especially that scene where he's performing for like four people who hate him.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? Like, what is keeping this going? Like, this can't even be like paying you anything. Like, I don't even get it, but it is sad.
I do think it's interesting to draw the, and this has only occurred to me on this watch, the idea that if your job is like pugilist, you know, like just like fighting and being violent for an audience, that once you physically can't do that anymore, stand up is the next, like, that's a funny.
Yeah,
it's a good way to get beaten up.
Yeah, fight with your words.
Metaphorically. Yeah. Get your ass kicked by like lack of laughter.
Oh God.
So the reception of this movie, the brew of violence and anger combined with the lack of a proper advertising campaign led to the film's lukewarm box office intake of only $23 million when compared to its $18 million budget. It's so surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like word of mouth would have made this, better, like make more money. Cause I genuinely loved it. And I was like, I need to see more of this man's films. And then I was like, well, I'm in luck. I get to.
I didn't know.
Don't worry. I had always heard it was like such a bomb. And like, I'm not saying that's a ton, but like if I spend $18 million and I get $23 million back, all of a sudden I've got $5 million I didn't have. Like that seems pretty good to me.
It's a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
We win.
Well, and that's what's so interesting, because the next fact, which Nicole is going to tell us.
Yeah. So Bobby D, Robert De Niro, won Best Actor at both the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. And Thelma Shoemaker won the Academy Award for Best Editing. She deserves it. It's so good.
Oh, it's so amazing. But I'm so shocked by this, because I feel like this doesn't happen as often, where things that didn't do well in the box office also win Academy Award. It feels much more intertwined now, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the wait, do you guys know I don't want to jump on any of the trivia you have, but do you know the story of how they chose to do this movie?
No, please tell us.
Okay, so Scorsese, in the 70s, he was like he was doing a lot of coke, and I think he was like hospitalized for like just like rocking too hard, and De Niro came to visit him and said like, hey, I got a project I would love for you to work on. It's the Jake LaMotta story. I think you should make a movie about Jake LaMotta. And Scorsese said, that's great, but who's going to play him? And he was like, well, I was hoping I could play him. And he was like, that's crazy. You're not Italian. He's a quarter Italian. His name is De Niro. Like he's one quarter Italian. And to Scorsese, that reads as an Irish man. Like, that's why he's the Irishman. He was like, I don't understand. And so, like, Scorsese was like, it's this incredible, like, monumental performance in film. And it's, like, the performance that method actors are, like, imagining they're giving when they're being annoying on set. But, like, that. And Scorsese was like, it was like a fight. He was like, I don't see it, man. I'm sorry. You do not read as an Italian man to me.
What?
That's wild. I thought Bobby D was Italian.
Me
like,
too.
He is, but not yet. If not you're fully. Like you Sicilian Marty Scorsese, like not so much.
Mm. Yeah, that is really interesting. Well, some other trivia is that Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci are really punching each other in the famous Hit Me scene, which I thought was not real. I mean, I thought it looked very real, but I assumed it wasn't.
That's why it felt real.
Yeah.
I got to say, I don't think that's necessary. I think De Niro was being stupid. I don't think it's
I don't want them to hit each other.
Me either. Especially my precious Joey Pesci. So here's more trivia. Prior to receiving a call from De Niro and Scorsese for a proposal to star in the film, Pesci had not worked in film for 4 years and was working at an Italian restaurant in New Jersey. Oh my God. I'm from New Jersey. I wonder if I saw him.
Oh my God. That's amazing. You were, but I'm truly like, this is so crazy. He kind of plucked him out of not obscurity, because I guess he had done things before, but like he wasn't completely known at all. And then they're like, oh, come do our movie. And it's like that kind of launched his whole thing, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
it's my assumption.
Mm-hmm.
To show up better on black and white film, Hershey's chocolate syrup was used for blood. That's yummy.
That's the to psycho
achieve
trip.
The effect. Is it psycho as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine me on set licking walls and they're like, stop it, Nicole.
You're just like sucking a wound.
You read as a vampire on film when you do that.
So to achieve the effect of blood gushing and spraying from Robert De Niro's face, the actor wore a prosthetic nose that was filled with the fake blood, which would squirt in every direction upon impact with punches.
Ugh. Yeah, and it was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, it's just like a little bit of like the like this like Lucio Fulci gore when he's getting punched, and it like it's spraying out of the nose in like bizarre angles. It's like, it's almost like impressionistic. Like I've never been punched in the nose that hard, but like, I don't think it goes like that. You know, it's like a little, like they're taking some liberties with like anatomy in a fun way.
Well, we got to take another break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
More Raging Bull.
So it's time for the new Academy Awards. And despite his films having been nominated for over 100 combined Academy Awards, Marty himself has only won one. So we're here to correct the record, presenting the prestigious first annual New Academy Awards.
Yeah!
Yay!
We're going to start with the best food scene. The nominees are Irma, Jake's first wife, feeding him a steak. Or Jake storming into Joey's family breakfast and attacking him because he believes Joey slept with his wife. That's a great scene.
It is such a good scene. But I think I really love the steak scene. I really liked the wife fighting back. You just knew how loud that apartment was.
Yes. Branson, what's your vote?
I'm going to give it to the storming into his brother's place, though. They're both great. This is a painful decision, but
I'm going to be the tiebreaker, and I'm going to vote for the steak because it really stuck with me more as like a sort of theatrical scene. Like I loved when he runs into the breakfast and kicks his ass, and like all the stuff with the kids watching, like all that was like really crazy and so well done. I loved that first scene. And I feel like that woman needs justice because we never see her again.
Yeah.
And I felt like it really established how violent Jake is. It was like, this is the baseline for this man. This is what he's like at fucking home.
Yes.
And then doesn't it lead right into the guy shouting from the street? He's like, hey guys, keep it down over there.
Yes.
Yes.
He shouts back and then like casually, like as almost as a tossed off joke at the end, he goes, by the way, I'm going to kill your dog.
Like, yes. Yes.
Psychopath.
Wild.
So the new Academy Award goes to Irma. Congrats, Irma.
Congrats.
Irma somewhere being like, finally. Okay, this is best line delivery. The nominees are, you want your steak, Irma, Jake's first wife cooking dinner. I heard things. Jake LaMotta to his brother, Joey LaMotta, about Joey sleeping with Jake's wife. You never got me down, Ray. And that's Jake to Sugar Ray Robinson in The Ring.
Ooh.
I feel like it's got to be You Never Got Me Down.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going with.
I was, yeah. Part of me was hoping for an Irma sweep, but I'm going there too.
Hey, we control how this goes. We can make it hers. But no, I do feel like that You Never Got Me Down really stuck with all of us, because it was like such a, like, that moment of just like, wow, you really are fucked up, man.
It's like someone getting hit by a car, flying over the hood and like landing on their knees being like, get me all the way down. It's like, yeah, but you were hit by a fucking car, dude. You're
about
from
to die.
There to there.
It also,
you were airborne and not on a plane.
I looked it up and LaMotta was knocked down. In like reality, his record that he was very proud of, he got knocked down. And I thought, like, honestly, like, all things being even, like, I sort of thought it was very like sweet of Scorsese to like not include. It's like, you know what? I am running this guy's name through the mud. I'm gonna at least give him this victory that he didn't actually have in real life. I thought, I was sort of touched by that.
Wow.
I'll say this. I think him not getting knocked down and being stuck on the fact that he wasn't knocked down is more pathetic than actually getting knocked down and taking the loss.
Yeah, because it's sort of like if you got knocked down, it was uncontrollable and you just, your body gave out or whatever. And like this version is like him just being like, I won't accept that you actually beat me.
<I know. laughs>
Okay, so the new Academy Award goes to You Never Got Me Down, Ray. Congrats to that line.
Congrats.
Now, best dressed. This is fun. The nominees are Vicky, Kathy Moriarty, Jake LaMotta, Robert De Niro, or Joey LaMotta, Joe Pesci. Whose outfits did you like the most?
Not Jake.
No.
Kind of like Joey, but Vicky. Vicky looked pretty good.
She had fun, like the swimsuit. Like the she had a lot of really fun like 40s outfits that were cool.
I was trying to build like a contrarian case for Jake, and I was like, what am I doing? It's Vicky. Like, there's no, come on, dude. It's obviously.
He's not going to win even in this.
No, we got him down.
I just want to bring up again, Vicky flirting through the fence. I want to know how she knew to be so flirty through a fence. If some man stuck his fingers through a fence, I'd probably back up and be like, ew. Don't do that.
I know. He shook her finger with his finger, like, nice to meet you. And it was, I found that really, like,
gross.
Cute slash weird. It was like, it was one of the, but I was like, that's a funny little move to do. Like, okay. But yeah, that was interesting. So Vicky gets the new Academy Award for Best Dressed.
Congrats, Vicky. Time for Scorsese. Time for reviews. So we're reading reviews from Letterboxd, and we're giving the film a one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. If you don't know what Letterboxd is, I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's a social platform where people can write reviews of films, and you can follow our show on Letterboxd at Newcomers. This review is from Dougie, 4.5 stars. Cute and whimsical.
That's absurd. Okay, so we're all going to go around, including our producers, to give our star review out of 5 stars and one sentence about the film that you want to have written in eternity on our page. I'm going to start. I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Nice.
I'm afraid that I'm going to repeat myself a lot this season, but like, classic for a reason. I mean, amazing performances across the board. Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro. I mean, I'm really understanding in a new way why they're so amazing. I'm sorry I'm so late. But great story told very well. Made me interested in boxing.
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to give it 5 stars. And my review is, it was a beautiful love letter to violence that made me think. And be like, people be interpreting this very wrong, but Marty, good job.
Anya or Allie or Branson, anybody want to go next?
Branson, go ahead.
Oh, sure. I'm going to give it 5. I came in hot loving this movie. I'm sticking with 5. And my one sentence review is they should have given the people in the front rows of the boxing rings ponchos.
Or ice cream sundaes to catch the chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's better. That's a lot. Okay, I'm taking that, and that's my review now.
Okay, great. You can have that.
Yeah, we'll do a strikeout in the text. My review, 4 stars, black and white and beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it 5 stars and say, Kathy Moriarty, you will always be a star.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It is a great film. And Dadoy, we now know that.
Lauren, do you feel dumb? Don't you feel like an idiot? No, never.
But here's what it is. We're not dumb, okay? Because people have not seen, so many people, first of all, haven't seen these movies. I know that there's a lot of our listeners who are going to be like, I also haven't seen this. And also, sometimes you just, like, this has not been in my realm of what, this would be the kind of thing my dad would put on and I'd go, what is this? And then I would leave. Like, it's not put into my demographics, like, world. Like, I don't feel like as women, we're like really pushed to watch these movies. Like, it's really like you said, like your boyfriend likes it or something. Mm-hmm. And they're really good. And I understand why, but I'm like, we're not being told, like, you got to watch this. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. No one ever told me to watch these until, you know, way later. And people are like, I can't believe you haven't seen them. And I'm like, hey, leave me alone.
I know. I like, you know, and it's so funny because we make fun of ourselves a lot. And I was thinking about this today. Like, we definitely make fun of ourselves, but I know we also have seen many artsy films that we like that are just not in these genres. So it's like, yeah, I have many things that are highbrow that I've seen and enjoyed. But we end up talking about Marvel for many, many hours. Yeah. Okay, what do you want? I can't talk about everything.
Well, also, it's like you're comedians. We're comedians. It's like I can riff for an hour about Iron Man because it's silly. It's like I don't have a ton of jokes ready to go about like Breathless. Like, you know, like it's good.
That's kind of what I was gonna say to defend you guys. I also feel like there's so many classic movies that, like, if you're a film buff, yes, you have to watch them. But like Marty's movies, you watch them and it feels like it could have been made yesterday, and that's what makes them like so compelling. And
yeah,
well, I guess I'm glad we're doing this now.
I know, it's really cool. What were you gonna say, Nicole?
Oh, just that a friend brought up some classic movie that I hadn't seen, and my rebuttal was, but have you seen House Guest, a movie that stars Sinbad?
Yeah,
had they?
They had, and I was like, okay, well, okay, cool. So I guess you've seen everything.
Okay, so you're very cultured. Well, Branson, this was so fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. What a
Is there anything you would like to plug
or promote?
Oh, please. Yes. Check out Root Tales of Magic right here on HeadGum. We would be great. Be a huge help if people listened to the show. Check that out. It's fun. It's a very fun show. And read my comic, Swan Boy. You can read it at swanboy.com.
Swan cool. Boy? Is yeah. this a boy who's half swan, half boy? Or
a boy
who rides a swan? Or a boy whose mother's a swan? Which one of the three?
I'm back to the drawing board. It's about to become a boy who rides a swan. That's
and
really
the swan's
compelling.
His mom.
It's all.
Well, you'll have to go to the website to see for yourself. And please, while you're doing that, go online and give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and review us on Apple Podcasts. We also enjoy when you say nice things about us. And we're going to be back next week with Goodfellas from 1990. So we will see you then. Nicole, are you excited about Goodfellas?
Oh, you know I am. Joe Pesci's in it. And I can't wait to watch my boyfriend.
Well, and I love Ray Liotta, too.
Oh, Ray Liotta's in that?
Mm-hmm.
He's the lead, isn't he?
There's and De Niro's, right? I mean, I think it's the three of them.
Those are the three.
Again, hey, we don't know.
They're the good fellas. Is Joe Pesci married? That's what I'm going to Google.
I was Googling this as well. I mean, you know, should we get into it really quickly?
Yes.
Okay. His wife was from 1988 to 1992. He was married, but he's been married and divorced three times. Okay.
Okay.
His first, but there was something with his first marriage that I was trying to figure out. There was something kind of wild about this woman, and I didn't get all the details, so I don't want to speak out of turn. We need to do more research. Maybe we'll come back with our Pesci's marriage history.
Real quick, he had three marriages. He was engaged in 2007, but they broke up in 2008, and Wikipedia doesn't seem to know if he's dating right now. So if anyone knows what's going on with Joe Pesci,
yeah, he's 81 and potentially single. Let's find out. Like, honestly, now would be the time for you to swoop in.
I would date him. I really would.
I bet he's great. I mean, he's so charming. I'd love to know what his real personality is like, actually. I have no idea.
Me too. And once I start dating him, I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Maybe we'll all get to hang out a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, Nicole Pesci. Oh, my God.
Oh. Sounds good.
It works.
That's great.
Bye.
Bye.
Newcomers
is a HeadGum Original hosted by us, Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus. Our executive producer is Anya Konovskaya. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our theme music, editing, sound mixing, and mastering is done by Ferris Manchi. Listen to new episodes wherever you get your podcasts every Tuesday.
Was a HeadGum Original.